All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What is good? Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. Don't know why I slapped my knee, but it felt appropriate. So, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Let's see what happened, Nick. Friday, we dropped a piece of content.
Yeah,
which we did. Congratulations.
Thank you. My first solo piece of Conan content.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And it took a little bit to get it up, but we're happy it's up. And
it's the top five things you need to consider before selecting your wheel size.
Yeah, which seems super primitive, but in a weird way, the primitive stuff seems to always do pretty well. And on top of that, there may be some...
It's more generic. It's more for like people just getting into it than opposed to, you know?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about some of the generic content is it ends up being one of those things where you think that people consider all these things, but maybe they don't, right? So hopefully, you know, if you're into changing wheels on your car or you haven't done it yet, this will be a good moment where you can go watch. It's a short watch, 4 minutes? It's
like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that.
So short watch, and it's cool if you want to go check it out and see if there's anything there that you may not have considered. And I don't know. So that was up on Friday. We hopefully will have another piece of content dropping for you in a couple of days. If you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead and subscribe down below. And then if you wouldn't mind giving us a thumbs up, a little like there, that'd be cool. Trying to think what else. What else we got going on?
Yes. It's kind of it for the most part. I mean, nothing really coming out. We're in the process of shooting a couple things.
Yeah, so we got something coming out in a couple days, and that's A versus B.
Right.
So we have A versus B, where we kind of break down the difference between A and B profile. Yep. I feel like we've done it before, but the truth is we just keep getting questions about it, so we made a little video for you.
Yep.
That will be out on Friday, and hopefully every Friday we're trying. Every Friday
as many Fridays as we can.
We're going to put up another piece of content in addition to the podcast. So that's up. First off, I want to thank everybody that has already kind of, we put up – last week we put up our podcast on the new Hypergram finish. And people have already been back ordering like crazy. So
nice.
If you are one of those people, and I believe you are because our crew seems to be pretty strong for the people that keep coming back to watch these things or listen on iTunes, you know, or listen.
Shout out to the iTunes people.
Yeah. I want to thank you very much because it's things like that. It's not just about the money or anything like that. It really is. It's things like that. When we kind of listen to feedback and we get feedback and we develop new designs or we do new finishes or, you know, part of the feedback that we had that led us down that road mm-hmm. with that finish was people wanted a new finish for the Hypergram, but they kept saying about machine lip.
Yeah.
And then we did one. And, you know, anytime we get feedback and we kind of look at the data and say, you know what, let's try it. When it does well, that's one of those signs where we know, okay, continue to listen to those
people.
Right? So it's really important, for us, when you guys take that leap of faith for us and give us your feedback and we take the time to listen to it and then we do it, when you guys go ahead and kind of buy it, it really is affirmation that that feedback's worth it. So thank you very much if you were one of the ones that purchased a wheel. It means a great deal to us. It's far more than just a wheel sale. It really is kind of like kind of almost like a tap on the back for, you know, putting the effort in and the work. And I don't know. That's it.
I mean, that's a really good thing. For the most part, the feedback comes from what? Emails, comments?
Comments, DMs, you know, different things. I mean, honestly, we take feedback from quite other places, you know, YouTube comments, which is a good time if you want to comment below. And if you were one of those ones that did step out on a limb and buy one of the new finished hypergrams, as you get pictures, please send them
Send us some pictures.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And let's see. I think that's pretty much it on that stuff. I know that today we were debating about, you know, kind of what we were going to talk about. And we started having this idea of, well, Nick had the idea.
So the idea actually came from last week. We were last week on our live, which mm-hmm. we do every Wednesday at 3 p.m.
That's right. So in a few hours, if you are watching this when it first dropped,
check out our Instagram.
Right. Instagram, 3 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday.
So during the live last week, a lot of people were actually asking, like, you know, what happened to this wheel? What happened to that wheel? Why'd you discontinue it?
Right.
I think the hypergram specifically used to come in a red finish, and that's not available anymore. And somebody was asking, like,
yeah,
they just tried to order it, and that's when we stopped making it. So
right.
The idea came up of, you know, why do we discontinue certain wheels? Why do we stop designing? Like, what gets it to the point where it's like it's not worth still producing this wheel?
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, we figured we would spend a few minutes kind of talking about discontinued wheels and why we don't bring back wheels from the past, or why we do, or et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of briefly talk about what wheel models we are kind of phasing out, preparing for
right.
for the year. So I guess first and foremost, you know, some of the wheels that we're planning on phasing out. I think the Interflow, it's this time where it's going to step off. The Unknown, we've had that wheel for, geez, it's got to be almost, see, I can't do this. It's got to be almost 17 years old, maybe 18 years old. So, I mean, the Unknown lasted a long time.
Is that the longest running wheel?
I don't think so, but it's close. But if anybody wants to hear the story of how we named the wheel the Unknown, go ahead and drop it in the comments. If we get enough comments,
we'll tell it.
If we get enough comments and we get enough likes, maybe we'll tell the story on next Wednesday's live and on next Wednesday's podcast.
There you go.
Anyhow. But so the Unknown will start to phase out. I think there's one part number I think we're going to retain just because it continues to do pretty well. And as you mentioned, the red Opel hypergram finish has been retired.
Sorry. Yeah, me too.
It's not you. It's not you.
It's one of those days.
I know. It's not you. I just, for some reason, didn't sleep well at all last night. Anyhow.
Me neither.
Neither here nor there. So that's the deal. You know, with kind of where our plans are for this year, we've added some new wheels. We added the Countergram, we added the Hexaform, and we added.
So, is there like a specific number
hypergram finish
that you try and keep it at for wheels that are in production, or is it like, do you remove because you just created two new ones, or do you remove them just because of whatever other reasons that we're?
Yeah,
about to
I mean, a little bit of all of the above, and you know, it's kind of a hard logistical game when you really start to get to the technical pieces of, you know, what makes us discontinue a wheel. But, you know, when we started talking about, you know, the different warehouses we have and stuff like that, there is a finite number of wheels that we can put on a shelf, right? Like, when you really think about it, if you take, you know, your warehouse locations and how many shelves you have and how many racks you have and how high the racks go and how many pallets can fit in each and how many wheels can fit in a pallet, there is a very finite number of wheels that you can hold at any one time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes we make the determination to move a wheel out because maybe it's been around for a long time and it's doing okay, but it's time for something new. Sometimes we do it because we realize that certain part numbers didn't do as well as we hoped. Sometimes we look at it and we decide that it just didn't have a place in the line. Remember, we make wheels across, you know, multiple lines, but we do it for different vehicles and we do it for, you know, kind of different genres, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to do our best not to have a ton of overlap. So let's say a new wheel comes out and it has similar properties or whatever it may be, and the new wheel starts doing really well. We may decide to say, all right, you know what, this wheel is still doing okay, but it's time to move on.
Right.
Right? Because in some way, as much as the wheels are very functional, there's also a major fashion entity to what we do, right? Like,
yeah.
If you look at clothing or whatever it may be, like they don't always have the same sneakers around for years and years.
Yeah. So I was about to say, like, if you look at wheels from, I don't know, 17 years ago, for example, the style that people were going for 17 years ago isn't exactly the same as what people are going for now. So mm-hmm. with new yep. wheels comes new designs that are more modern and more into what people are looking for. So, start little by little getting rid of those older designs until eventually it's all only new designs. And then the cycle repeats because now you're designing new and you go on and go on and go on. Designs change. And
yeah.
It's just constant circle.
And cars change and fitments change. Like yeah. if you look at our stuff, from 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, there's a lot more stuff that had lips on it. The problem that you've run into is that those high offset, you know, narrower wheels, like, you know, 8-inch, 7, you know, 7.5-inch, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, these cars have bigger brakes that they're coming with from the factory now. So if you – that wheel won't clear. So that's just a logistical thing that happens as your line gets older
right.
or as wheels kind of tend to age. You know, you built them around the vehicles that were available and around then, and those vehicles have changed. They've shifted. So what ends up happening is the relevancy of that design starts to diminish, and when it does, we need to continue to keep up with all the technology that's changed. And a good example would be like if we had wheels still from 20 years ago, you wouldn't have TPMS compatible wheels. I mean, TPMS is something that was really only required, I think, 2005 and up.
Yeah.
So, you know, now the cars have TPMS sensors, and when they do, not all cars have TPMS sensors, like Volkswagens and stuff like that. They'll have a lot of German cars. They use more of a sensor that kind of detects the vehicle's rolling diameter.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of cars do have sensors. So, you know, our wheels, you know, in the past 15 plus years or so, they're TPMS compatible for the most part. And, you know, if you kept the wheels for 20 years around, you may find that they're not.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of things that help, you know, that kind of lend into when we decide to say sayonara to a design, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens, and it's something that we obviously need to constantly look at. And the other thing is, too, is like, and let's go to a good example like the red Hypergram.
Mm-hmm. Why is that wheel being taken out?
Sure. So when we brought the red Hypergram in, it was supposed to be a limited run. It was going to be a limited edition. I think we brought in, like, I don't know, maybe like 1,000 wheels, like, I mean, whatever it was, right? So and what happened was, for a while it had a strong popularity, and so we were like, you know what, if people want them, we're not some exclusive, we didn't have right. this exclusive club, so we're like, all right, you know, it wasn't a limited number run. So we're like, we'll let it go for a little bit. So we did. And then at some point, you know, the sales were okay. They were still okay on it. But now we decided to do a new finish based off of feedback that we had, right?
Right.
And so when we do that new finish
kind of pushed out the old.
We're just like, look, there's no reason
to have four different finishes. Well, and for
let's make
one
sure
wheel.
That we, yeah, let's make sure we have good stock on the brand new finish. So, and to do that, we just decided, all right, to be able to stock more of the new finish,
we'll stop production on the old finish.
Yeah. And so that's what it comes down to. And, you know, sometimes, like, things will sell super well, and you know, you guys will still want them, and there'll be still demand for them, and we'll continue to make them. And then there's other times where they don't, and we'll kind of decide, it's enough. It's time to move on, right? And I would imagine that there's a very similar conversation that happens internally in many, many, many different companies, whether it be Nike, you know, producing shoes, or Jordans, or, you know, Yeezys, you know, or anything like that. you know, any one of those companies, Adidas or whatever it may be, all those companies
have the same conversation.
I think, you know, to some degree, of course.
Of what are we gonna stop doing versus, you know, based off the new designs and.
Yeah, I mean, I think more in the sense of, like, you know, when, you know, how do you, like, what are the things, what are the items that determine when we decide to stop doing this and start doing something different?
Right.
And I'll tell you that, you know, it's not strictly a data thing. There's sometimes we keep certain part numbers or certain niches in here just because they have a time and a place, right?
Right.
You know, it's a subjective call to a degree. It's not just all sales data. And, you know, there's sometimes that we look at stuff and we're just like, all right, well, we've done that for a while. Let's do something different.
Switch it up.
Right. So, you know, and the hard part is, too, is that we make a lot of different wheels and we stock a lot of different wheels. And, you know, between all the different lines that we have, we don't just have Koenig. We obviously have, you know, four other brands that we manufacture and sell. So, you know, when it comes down to that, we really have to be cognizant about, like, all right, this is how much room, that finite space, and this is how many wheels will go, and this is how many dealers stock this. And
right.
So what do we want to have for people at home? And everybody knows the frustration of calling in to your retailer and you want to get your wheel, and they're like, I'm sorry, it's on back order.
Right.
And the more we carried everything for everyone, the more that situation would arise. So we do our best to make sure that when it's time, when we feel like we're at that point of, we think it's time, we try to move off of it and go on to the next thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's the thing. Can you think of anything else we could talk about with discontinuing?
You said there were some wheels that have been brought back. Why have wheels been brought back?
Well, we haven't really brought a wheel back. We, you know, years ago, we've done this before where we followed it up with a design that was very
similar.
Or we followed it up with a design that was very reminiscent, right? Like years ago, we used to have a wheel that was very popular called the Tuner, and then we made a different wheel and called it the Tuner 2, and we did Toxin and then the Toxin 2, and, you know, whether you like those or not, they're subjective. Again, it was many years ago, and the styles were different, but... you know, we've done that inspiration because, you know, somebody, this was a real popular wheel and we've decided to try to bring back like a tribute type thing.
Yeah. And switch it up with small design changes on it.
Or even, you know, fairly ones, but you can clearly see the resemblance, maybe same spoke count, split spoke, right. Whatever it may be. I don't really care. You know, we'll have a lot of people, even in the live streams and different things, they'll comment and be like, oh, I wish you still made this wheel. I wish you still made that wheel.
Yeah, all the time.
I know. But, you know, the truth is, like, you get to a point where you want to move on, you know? And I've said that before in live streams.
Some people, eventually you should move on. But some people, you know, they've had maybe these wheels on their car for however long.
I get
it. For one reason or another. And they're just, you know, one of them went bad or two of them, whatever.
Yep.
Now
they can't get a replacement.
And now they can't get a replacement, so now they're like, oh, like, I wish it was still around, because you know, some people don't want to change the look. Once their car is done and it's ready, you know, for them and how they like it, they want to stick with what it has. But, you know, also, it's, and we've said this before, wheels are a wearable item. It's like sneakers, like, you know?
Yeah,
you wouldn't run you could constantly buy the same pair of sneakers, especially, but eventually you're bound to change, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, wheels with a wearable item thing, I mean, you're probably less common for a lot of the people that use their wheels in the street. But
yeah.
But when that comes down to it, you know, we'll have those people that request them. Like the guys that there's a few guys out there they follow us, but we also, I think, follow them. But a few guys that have done the reproduction on the Fast and the Furious cars, and they're like, oh, can you make the Tantrums again? Can you do this car?
Mm.
And listen, it's cool. It's cool. Like, I get the nostalgia thing, and I get, you know, you fall in love with one wheel or one thing's on your car, and you try to keep your car immaculate. But, like, you know, and I've said this in the live streams before, I'm not a big fan about redoing. I'm like, I kind of feel like, you know, you're only as good as your last at bat. So why keep swinging in the same part of the ballpark? Like,
right.
let's try new things. Let's let's explore, let's build new things. I think that to an extent, there's a creative process, right? Like, we enjoy building wheels, and so there is that little bit of a, can we do this better? Can we make this better? Mm-hmm. Can we come up with this? Can we change? And so I'm just not a big fan, personally.
Of going back. Of
going backward. And so, you know, that's, again, subjective. Just because I feel that way doesn't mean everybody should feel that way. But
true.
I don't know. So that's why we don't tend to make, we don't bring wheels back. So far. Like, next year, watch, we're bringing seven wheels back. Right? One day is going to happen, because you can't reinvent the wheel. So one day what's going to happen is we're going to run out of thoughts, and we're just going to be like, all right, screw it. Just bring back every popular wheel that we ever had and do them in modern sizing, right?
Yeah, but that may not actually go well, because like we said before, the style is different. So just because it was popular back in 2007, 2008, yeah, doesn't mean it's going to be popular now. It doesn't mean people are going to want to put that on their car now.
Yeah, you know, and I think that there is a really interesting thing, because there's a strong bunch of dudes out there and dudettes. I don't want to single anybody
people
out. Yes, people. There's a strong bunch of people out there that are very, like, they like nostalgia type builds, and they look for OG wheels, and they look for, you know, old school wheels, and they look for a lot of retro stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is totally cool, but if every company that made wheels made their old stuff that everybody's seeking out, it kind of wouldn't put a lot of value on that stuff.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as,
right? Could you imagine?
I guess unique, because now it's like, you know, to do something like that, or to like to restore an old car or build it an older style car and get like the old, original wheels that you used to have, it's like you got to work to find those wheels. Like, you have to go and search and hunt and, like, look on Craigslist, Facebook, wherever you can, just to find that set of wheels, as opposed to, oh, like, you know, I just bought these brand new because, like, the website still sells them. So, and I feel like it kind of takes away from the nostalgia, because it's, like, something you remember and it's not available anymore. So you see it and you're like, oh, wow, like, I remember way back when, but now it's like, oh, well, you know, this other dude just bought these wheels. Like, this guy has it. It's still available. I'm still seeing it around. So it takes away from the nostalgia, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I think these are completely subjective calls, right? So I think, you know, maybe you out there may have a totally different opinion. And I think it's cool.
Down below.
No. Yeah, right. So what do you think? Should we make wheels that we've made before? Should we bring retro wheels back? Like, do we just keep moving it forward? What's your thoughts? Throw it down below. I personally like, I mean, you know, I'm off to my left. You know, we have a Wally from Bergenholz. We have some Bergenholz, so, you know, pictures from back in the day. And we have plenty of things and memorabilia like that. And what's interesting and what's always been real special to me about those things is they really remind you of a time, a place, and kind of where these people and how different companies played a role in the progression of, you know, of the sport and the industry and different things like that. So I think they're cool things to have around the office to be able to look at it.
It says Bonds. What's he driving?
What's that? Which car?
The middle one right here.
So that was Ed Bergenholz, and he was driving a front-wheel drive. I mean, it's a Mazda 6, but, I mean, it's a fully, you know, done car. I'm sure that's all tube frame.
Thanks for all the support in 2004.
Right? Yeah, and, like, in the cars before it, that would have been, like, 2000. And, yeah, I mean, so
people on YouTube are probably like, what is he looking at?
That's fair.
It's a photo.
Yeah, there's some photos. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where I think the nostalgia pieces really do help. He's going to go try to grab one. Yeah. So that's one there. That was a long time ago. Grab the, as long as they're showing Bergenholz stuff. Grab that. Yeah, grab that one and then. Or even, right. There was this is what we're looking at. So that was there. I'm trying to think. Should we bring over the Wally too? I love the Wally.
What wheel is it? What
wheels? I believe there's a wheel called the Foreplay.
I like those.
Yeah.
Can we bring these back?
Nah.
But yeah, so you know, these cars were world record setting. I mean, we're working with, you know, companies that you still see way back in the day, like, you know, like Nitto. And so that's interesting. And, you know, Bergenholtz, you know, Ed Bergenholtz, just kind of this year, he made a little comeback, started racing some stuff again, which is cool.
Yeah, nice.
And Ron Bergenholtz, who is his brother, but was an intricate part of the program and different things. Ron, you know, he works with Nitto Tire, and he's been, you know, working within the drift community for many, many years now. So he's still around, and he does a lot of the stuff. And I spoke to him a couple weeks ago, and it's a bunch of fun to see these guys that have been doing it for so many years.
Yeah.
Grab that Wally real quick. I want to end. This is one of my favorite things. So one of my favorite things here. So what makes this Wally super cool, if you know what a Wally is, this is – Wally Parks was kind of a legend within racing, right? And so they have an award named after him. And this award NHRA Pro Front Wheel Drive Championship that Ed Bergenholtz won. You know, to have a Wally and to win a Wally from drag racing, especially in that day, and I was drag racing in those days, but I was never even close to the competitive level as, you know, the guys like Stefan Papadakis,
right,
and the Vinny Tens, and, you know, Ed Bergenholtz and Paisleys and stuff like that. So I mean, like, they're on another level, right? But we were when I was a kid, like, you know, when I was, you know, 21, 22, like, this is where I was putting all my time and money into, you know, doing it. I was going to the tracks, and I was, you know, it was what life was for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is like, you know, if you're an actor or training to be an actor, you have aspirations to be an actor. It's like if somebody was to give you an Oscar and basically, you know, set it on your table and you got to look at it every day.
Yeah.
Right? And for me, this is one of those historical pieces where I'm like, I love looking at this thing, and I always have. For, you know, it's been here for years and years and years, and just to be able to kind of have one in the office to kind of know
that
the work
there.
That it took, you know, the Bergenholtz brothers and those teams to be able to win that and set those records and what those records mean and how wild it is to think that the world's quickest and fastest unibody Honda, but was that car, was the CRX that we just showed you, you know, back in – does this have a date on it?
06, I think.
No.
Oh, no, that's 06.
It's not 06. But
– reigning world's fastest unibody Honda for 99.
For – yeah, for, so – all right, so yeah. 99. I mean, so – yeah, so – yeah, yeah, right. So in 1999, I mean, they went 945 at 155 miles an hour.
Jesus Christ.
Like, when you think, I know cars, like, they're
cars now can top that.
Oh, no, it's not that they can't top. Of course they can top it. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, you guys take some of these, you know, some of these Evos and some of these GTRs, and you're able to really, you know, make dramatic power. I mean, they're heavily modified still, but, you know, they're running these times. But, like, back then, I mean, it just was a whole different time. We're getting super...
We're getting well.
Yeah, I'm getting too nostalgic. This is why they don't let me do this stuff.
You're getting as nostalgic as people trying to.
Yeah, I could probably ramble about the old days. Man, it makes me so freaking old. That makes me feel
so good. So he was sponsored by us.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
And Nitto Tire and a bunch of other great companies. You know, Apexi's on here. Turbo XS, right? AM, Pony, Golden Pony. Eagle. I mean, you know, Clutch Masters. I mean, these companies have been around for so many years now, you know? So, anyhow, that's the deal. It's pretty interesting to see the history, and I'm not exactly sure why we came down this road to even begin with. But we did, so...
We were talking about bringing old wheels back and nostalgia and all
right,
stuff. And
right, so...
It somehow spiraled into your nostalgia and racing and...
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So, pardon my rant of nostalgic stuff. So, I don't know. Anything else you want to...
I think that's it.
Cool. Don't forget, we go live on Instagram and Facebook every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to talk to us, you want to have some questions, we pretty much will talk about anything car-related.
Yeah.
And some that's not, but, you know, most stuff car-related.
98% of the time.
Right. We do some wheel stuff, and in 2 days from now, on Friday, we'll be dropping the A versus B video. If you haven't yet checked out the video that Nick did about the top five things to consider when you're choosing a wheel size,
yep, go check that out.
That is up on our YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out the wheel offset videos or any other content, top five things for picking big brakes, we're plugging all the content here. Just
everything.
Go check it out. We appreciate it. Leave a comment. Throw the thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed, we really appreciate it if you do. It's funny that there's still a large percentage of people that are watching that don't subscribe. Just do it. You know you want to.
If they keep coming back and they're not to.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that's what we got going on. Again, thanks to all those who have stepped out and taken care of getting a set of those hypergrams in the new finish. Greatly appreciate that. Send pictures if you got them. And I don't know. That's it. We will catch you next Wednesday. Take care.
Peace.